Troops and tanks marked with white crosses have surrounded the Czechoslovak Communist Party Central Committee building in Prague, where Party Chief Alexander Dubček and the Party Presidium are meeting to discuss the Soviet occupation of their country. Tanks and troops, presumably flown in by air, also started to move into the Czech capital, and there are scattered reports of small arms fire. At this point, we are scheduled to rejoin CBS, and we'll be getting the word down the line, I'm sure, for that rejoinder.
This is CBS News in New York, Gary Shepard reporting. In the space of a few hours and with massive military might, the Soviet Union and four of its Eastern European satellites have invaded and apparently taken control of Czechoslovakia. The other nations are East Germany, Hungary, Poland, and Bulgaria. The latest report from the capital city of Prague says Soviet tanks and armored cars with white crosses painted on them have already surrounded the Czechoslovak Central Committee building in the city. First word of the invasion was broadcast about 4 hours ago by Radio Prague before it went off the air. At that time, it was reported the invasion was launched without the prior knowledge of Czech officials. They appealed to all citizens inside Czechoslovakia not to resist the advancing forces, but they called the invasion contrary to the principles of international law. During the past several hours, planes have been reported landing at the Prague airport. Western travelers reaching Austria and West Germany reported seeing huge numbers of communist ground forces swarming across the Czech border, as well as massive columns of tanks. Others spoke of a constant influx of Soviet military jets landing at the Prague airport. Travel to and from Czechoslovakia has now been virtually cut off. Austrians attempting to enter the country are being turned back by Soviet tanks. The story is the same at other Czech border points. Communications have also been blacked out. The only dispatch from Moscow relating to the Czech invasion is an official statement from TASS, the Soviet news agency. It claims that Czech party and government leaders requested armed intervention to save the country from what are described as counter-revolutionary forces. Newsman Ernie Reed, reporting from the nearest free world capital of Vienna, Austria, says the Czech invasion has stunned that city. The government there, says Reed, has called an emergency meeting, which is now apparently in progress. And the Austrian border with Czechoslovakia is now being fortified in case of trouble there. Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin paid a visit to President Johnson at the White House only a short while before the invasion became public knowledge. He apparently informed the president of the military takeover, then returned to the Soviet embassy. That visit is thus far the only contact between the Kremlin and the United States government. The Washington to Moscow hotline has not been used, according to the latest word from the White House. Shortly after the Dobrynin visit, President Johnson called an emergency meeting of the National Security Council. Attending that meeting were Secretary of State Rusk, Defense Secretary Clifford, and others from the Pentagon and the Central Intelligence Agency. When the meeting ended, there was no public announcement of action on the part of the United States, but White House News Secretary George Christian did say that Secretary Rusk was ordered to meet again with Dobrynin to get a further explanation. That meeting lasted for 15 minutes and has now ended. Rhode Island Senator Claiborne Pell visited Czechoslovakia only a few weeks ago and has now returned to Washington. CBS News reached Senator Pell and asked him for his reaction to the invasion of Czechoslovakia.
After a good deal of seesawing, it would appear that the Kremlin hawks have prevailed. If such is the case, it is a tragic and stupid step on the part of the Soviets, as they are simply putting the Cold War, which was thawing, back into deep freeze, a procedure which is harmful to all mankind.
Rhode Island Senator Claiborne Pell speaking from his home in Washington. From London, CBS News reporter Bob Allison says the British Foreign Office has ordered an immediate top-level meeting of cabinet ministers to discuss the Czech crisis. Prime Minister Harold Wilson is returning to London from vacation to attend the conference. At the United Nations, a spokesman for Secretary General Font says there are no immediate plans to call the Security Council into session to discuss the Czech invasion, and that Secretary Font still intends to leave on Thursday for Prague. Those plans, of course, may be changed as a result of the latest developments. Here is a late dispatch from Prague, which says Prague Radio, which went off the air at 11:47 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday, suddenly came back on the air at 5:45 in the morning, urging the people of Prague to heed only the legal voice of Czechoslovakia. It said, go to your places of work, carry out passive resistance, do not resist. We are incapable of defending these frontiers. Gary Shepard, CBS News, New York.
This is
Hear all the news and hear it first on this CBS radio network station.
This is 830 WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we remind you once again that in 55 minutes we will rejoin CBS Radio News for further details and developments on the Czechoslovakian situation. This station serves the nation, coast to coast, through the night, from the Twin Cities, WCCO. Now then, we're ready to pick up CBS Radio.
This is CBS News in New York, Gary Shepard reporting. The invasion of Czechoslovakia by the Soviet Union and her Eastern European allies is now more than 8 hours old. The latest reports from Prague reaching the West say the capital is now in Soviet hands and that Russian tanks and armored cars have surrounded the Czech Communist Party Central Committee building in the center of the city. The whereabouts of Czech President Ludwig Svoboda or party leader Alexander Dubček are not known. At last report, they were inside the building meeting with other Czech leaders and discussing the invasion. The military takeover follows by only a few weeks, top-level meetings in the Czech towns of Černá nad Tisou and Bratislava that appeared to have resolved the dispute over the Czech program of reform that was irritating the Kremlin. When those conferences ended, Alexander Dubček announced to the Czech people that his country would be allowed to continue its liberal course. All that is now changed. Travelers reaching the West report having seen thousands of troops and tanks swarming across the Czech border from virtually all directions. In addition to Soviet forces, they came from Hungary, Bulgaria, East Germany, and Poland. A large number of Soviet jets landed at the Prague airport, carrying with them Russian troops, which were then sent to key points throughout the capital. Vincent Bust, a correspondent for Reuters, the British news agency, who is in Prague, says groups of young demonstrators lined the streets of the city as the Soviet forces moved in, chanting liberty as the units passed by. Tanks, he says, rumbled along the six-mile road from the Prague airport to the center of the city in large numbers. They were apparently flown in from inside the Soviet Union. As they approached, hundreds of taxicabs and private automobiles raced through the streets, blaring their horns to warn the people that Soviet troops were entering the city. Some of the Soviet forces, wearing red berets and carrying machine guns, reportedly took up positions outside one building from which Radio Prague transmits its broadcasts. The station was cut off the air for several hours, but a short while ago it went back on, telling its listeners that its frequency was being jammed, going on to say, try and hear us where you can. It is now just after 7:30 Wednesday morning in Prague, and thousands of citizens are in the streets on their way to work. Most of them are stopping on street corners to talk of the Soviet invasion, but when troops pass by, they turn their faces in the other direction. Fluttering down from the skies above the city, thousands of leaflets proclaiming ousted leader Antonin Novotny as the legal president of the country. Novotny was replaced several months ago by the communist reform movement led by Alexander Dubček. There have been reports of scattered gunfire in the city, but so far, no reports of casualties. President Johnson learned of the Czech invasion from Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin, who paid him a visit several hours ago at the White House. Mr. Johnson called an emergency meeting of the National Security Council shortly afterward, and later Secretary of State Rusk held another meeting with Ambassador Dobrynin. What transpired has not been made public. In Moscow, the official Soviet news agency TASS is reporting that the invasion was requested by Czech leaders. So far, there's been no activity at the United Nations, but Senator Wayne Morse of Oregon thinks there should be.
I think what we ought to be calling for is an immediate emergency meeting of the Security Council of the United Nations. Let's not start making another mistake again of a unilateral or bilateral or independent actions on the part of military powers in regard to some problem that's arisen in the world. Here is the time to see whether or not the United Nations Charter is worth the paper it's written on. We violated it in Vietnam. Russia is violating it in Czechoslovakia. Let's not make the same mistake again. Let's call for an extraordinary emergency meeting of the Security Council and try to get the facts out in the open.
Senator Wayne Morse of Oregon speaking in Washington. CBS News United Nations correspondent Richard C. Hottollett says the big question now is whether Czech leaders will ask for a United Nations meeting or whether they will go along with the Soviet takeover. Hundreds of demonstrators turned out at the Soviet mission to the United Nations here in New York a short while ago, and we get the story now from newsman Gary Maurer of station WCBS.
A group of about a dozen young people stood across the street from the Soviet mission to the United Nations. It was the first anti-Soviet reaction, in fact, the only reaction on the streets of New York City so far. They didn't come here as a group, but they sort of wandered here one by one. For the most part, they merely shouted anti-Soviet slogans. The group remained orderly. There was no trouble with police. There has been absolutely no reaction at all from within the Soviet mission, nor is there likely to be. This is Gary Maurer in New York.
CBS News correspondents Morley Safer, Bill McLaughlin, and Peter Kalischer are now heading for the Czech border, and we hope to hear direct reports from them as soon as communications are available. Standing by in Vienna is newsman Ernie Reed. Ernie, what is the latest from your vantage point there?
Well, we have just learned that Radio Prague, which is being monitored in Vienna, had announced shortly before 7 a.m. local time that unidentified airplanes have been dropping leaflets over Prague saying that Navalny is the legal president of Czechoslovakia. He was ousted from his post illegally some time ago by Dubček. The broadcast also said that a group of Soviet soldiers was marching downtown in the downtown Prague, and that many hundreds of Prague residents marching towards them are carrying Czechoslovak flags. The announcer appealed again to the people to remain calm and to avoid any clashes with the invading troops. Meanwhile, the Austrians are all tense about the situation. The Austrian government has called an emergency meeting, and they are Russian soldiers down to the border, which is only a few miles away. The Austrians, who have experienced the tragic events of the unfortunate 1956 Hungarian Revolution, have been fortifying the borders for the last couple hours. They are also putting up tents to take care of thousands of Czech refugees who are expected to try to escape to Austria.
Well, Ernie, what is the feeling in the city of Vienna? Is it one of great tension among the people on the streets?
Yes, there is a lot of tension. People, there are special editions of newspapers, and people are talking in coffee houses already this morning. They're in hotels discussing the situation, and some of them are saying, you can't trust the Russians.
Well, it appears that travel between Austria and Czechoslovakia has now been completely cut off. Is that correct?
Yes. All the borders have been closed off to travelers. The Hungarian and the Czechoslovakian border are completely closed off.
What does it appear the next move of the Austrian government will be? They're moving troops to the border.
Yes, they're fortifying their troops. They're fortifying all the borders, and they're waiting for some of the Czechs to try to come over, and they're doing everything possible to help them. And these broadcasts here from Austria here are warning the local people, too, about not traveling to these countries.
Well, for several hours, Radio Prague was cut off the air, and it is now back on the air. Does it appear that the people who are doing the broadcasting are still loyal to Alexander Dubček, or are these Soviet commentators?
Well, the Radio Prague has said that the most difficult honor of our life, we here at the Prague Radio fully back our president, our legal government, and the central committee headed by Comrade Dubček. The broadcast went on. This may be the last report you are hearing because most of the technical facilities are not any longer in our hands. that has come from the Central Committee, which is constantly in session, although the Central Committee building is already surrounded by foreign units. Comrade Dubček, whom we fully trust, is sending the following message. Dubček said, "We are convinced that the best line is to return to your work this morning. This is an appeal and a request. Please, at this time, it is only the possible solution that we can present to you."
So it appears that persons loyal to Alexander Dubček are still in control of Radio Prague and are broadcasting.
That was at 6 a.m. local time, which is 5 a.m. GMT time.
Well, Ernie, how long ago was that from right now?
Well, that was about, I would say it was about an hour and 45 minutes ago.
So less than 2 hours ago, forces loyal to Mr. Dubček were still in control of Radio Prague.
And they were also broadcasting appeals to the people not to listen to the illegal broadcast. There are two radio stations, one with a strong German accent and one of Prague Radio, were heard broadcasting throughout the night. Radio Prague said, "Go to your jobs and carry out passive resistance. Take orders only from officials."
Well, thank you very much. Reporter Ernie Reed, speaking to us live from Vienna, the capital city of Austria. That's the latest on the Czech invasion by the Soviet Union and its satellite countries. This is Gary Shepard, CBS News, New York.
This is 830 WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We are about to join CBS right now.
This is CBS News in New York, Gary Shepard reporting. The military takeover of Czechoslovakia by the Soviet Union and four of her Eastern European satellites is now meeting its first resistance in Prague. The latest reports from there say Czech citizens are throwing themselves in front of Soviet tanks in an effort to stop the invasion. That action, of course, is having little, if any, influence on the takeover. In addition, Czech citizens converged in front of the building that houses Prague Radio, where Soviet forces armed with machine guns stood their ground and then fired into the crowd. So far, no word on casualties. The massive military takeover began nearly 10 hours ago when a task force of Soviet, Polish, Hungarian, East German, and Bulgarian troops swarmed across the Czech border. Spearheaded by tanks and armored cars, the invasion force quickly took control of the country, which had been attempting to break away from the influence of the Kremlin and launch a liberal reform program. Czech leaders broadcast the first news on Radio Prague, calling the invasion contrary to international law and saying it was taking place without the prior knowledge of the Czech government. TASS, the Soviet news agency, tells a different story, saying the military takeover was requested by Czechoslovakia to put down counter-revolutionary elements. Diplomatic observers say the TASS version of the story was exactly what might be expected. Prague Radio was knocked off the air for several hours, but then it came back on, the announcer appealing to Czech citizens to refrain from fighting and to remain calm. He then reported gunfire in front of the building and said, finally, "The end is near." Newsman Steve Steinberg has been monitoring the Radio Prague broadcasts from his listening post in Munich, West Germany. Here is his report.
Czechoslovak radio stations are continuing to broadcast appeals to the people to obey only the leadership of Alexander Dubček as troops from the Soviet Union and other Warsaw Pact nations occupy the country. "Dear friends," said one broadcast, "listen only to the official information of the Dubček leadership." At one point, Prague Radio announced units were approaching the radio building, and shortly thereafter, shots could be heard on the radio broadcast. Another station said Radio Prague was being stormed by Soviet troops. Czech television says Prague's airport has been occupied by Soviet troops, and it was also reported that the building of the Czech Communist Party Central Committee in Prague has been occupied by Soviet units. Czech broadcasting stations are going on and off the air intermittently and changing frequencies to continue broadcasting. Another transmitting station, apparently set up by the invaders, is also on the air, but Radio Prague has advised its listeners to pay no attention to it. This is Steve Steinberg in Munich.
Soviet tanks and armored cars with white crosses painted on them have converged on the building in downtown Prague where the Czech Communist Party Central Committee makes its headquarters. The whereabouts of Czech party leader Alexander Dubček is not known, but he is thought to be inside the building where he had met earlier with other top officials to discuss the military invasion. Travel to and from Czechoslovakia has now been cut off, and communications are also disrupted. Soviet forces control the main airport in Prague, and tanks are in position at all border crossing points, turning back travelers in both directions. First word of the Czech invasion reached the White House last night when Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin met with President Johnson and informed him of the military takeover. A short while later, Mr. Johnson called a meeting of the National Security Council, and when that meeting had ended, Secretary of State Rusk met again with Ambassador Dobrynin, apparently getting further details from him. So far, there's been no call for an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council. But CBS News United Nations correspondent Richard C. Hodlett says there is a possibility that such a meeting may be requested. Not by the United States, says Hodlett, but more likely by some European nation like Great Britain. In London, the British Foreign Office has called an urgent meeting of cabinet officials, and Prime Minister Harold Wilson is now returning from vacation to attend that conference. Telephone communication between London and Moscow cut off for several hours. This bulletin in from Belgrade, Yugoslavia. Belgrade Radio reports that the Czechoslovak Party Central Committee and Presidium demanded the withdrawal of Warsaw Pact troops from Czechoslovak territory. That's the latest from Belgrade. This is Gary Shepard, CBS News, New York.
Hear all the news and hear it first on this CBS Radio network station.
By way of 830 WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul. 4:30 in the morning right now. With studios Minneapolis, St. Paul, this is 830 WCCO. To update you on the situation in Czechoslovakia, we now join CBS Radio.
This is CBS News in New York, Gary Shepard reporting. Czechoslovakia, which thought it was free, has been invaded by military forces from the Soviet Union and four of its Eastern European satellites. Soviet, Polish, Hungarian, East German, and Bulgarian forces now control the entire country. Even Czech traffic police in the capital city of Prague have been replaced by Soviet officers. TASS, the official Soviet news agency, says the invasion was ordered after Czech leaders appealed to the Kremlin to rescue them from counter-revolutionaries. But the Dubček government tells a different story. During the final hours before Radio Prague was finally forced off the air, commentators continued to characterize the invasion as a complete violation of Czech sovereignty. One of the first reports noted that the military takeover began without the prior knowledge of Czechoslovakian government officials. A later report from Belgrade, the capital of Yugoslavia, quoted Czech leaders as demanding the immediate withdrawal of all invading forces. A short while ago, Czech President Svoboda is said to have broadcast a personal appeal to Czech citizens, asking them to remain calm and not to resist. He said he could offer no explanation for the invasion. The massive military takeover was carried out with rapid-fire precision. As the ground forces swarmed across the Czech border at several points, Soviet planes were landing at the Prague airport, carrying with them battalions of soldiers and dozens of tanks and armored cars. They rumbled into downtown Prague, surrounding the Central Party headquarters building and later another building from which Radio Prague was still broadcasting. There was scattered gunfire in several parts of the city, Soviet troops using their machine guns to keep demonstrators away. Alexander Dubček has not been heard from for several hours and is now thought to be under arrest. In Brussels, the Permanent Council of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization has called an emergency meeting to discuss the Czech crisis. The British Foreign Office has called a similar meeting of cabinet members, and Prime Minister Harold Wilson is now returning to London from vacation to take part. Newsman Patrick Riley is now standing by at our studios in Rome, and so for the latest from there, we switch live to the Italian capital for his report. Patrick, has there been any comment from the Vatican about the Czech invasion?
Yes, there has. It's not official, but Pope Paul himself has spoken at an audience at Castle Gandolfo, where he has his summer home. He has, indirectly at least, appealed to the Soviet Union and to its satellites not to destroy the dignity and liberty of Czechoslovakia. In fact, there were Czechoslovak prisoners, pilgrims, at the weekly audience, and they listened with tear-stained faces as the Pope spoke to them. He spoke about his great worry, his great fears over the use of force in Czechoslovakia. He said, we would like to hope that the struggle of violence and blood may be avoided, and that the dignity and freedom of a people who are jealous of its destinies should not be offended.
Patrick, do you have any indication whether the Pope's comments have been relayed to Moscow or to the capitals of the other Soviet satellite countries?
Well, no indication, but we take that for granted, that the intelligence services of the embassies will shoot it right over there.
What about reaction from the Communist Party in Italy? Have any of its leaders spoken?
The leaders haven't spoken yet. They're in meeting right now. They've called an emergency meeting in the very early hours of the morning, in fact. However, the two communist newspapers in Italy are not only red-faced, but furious. And they've even... they're openly critical. The organ itself, the communist organ itself, Unita, has a headline saying that there is emotion and very deep worry in the whole international movement of the workers, by which they mean of the communists, of course. Longo is expected to come back from Moscow as soon as he can. That is, if they'll let him back. Longo is the Italian communist leader. Now, this has really put him in a very, very sticky position, because he has been building up the whole communist image in Italy as a sort of homey, harmless Italian form of spreading all the goodies around. No prisons, no hangings, none of that sort of thuggery, but a real homegrown Italian friendly communism.
Patrick, what about the reaction from people in Rome? It's well into the morning there now, practically noontime on Wednesday. Have they had any comment, people on the street?
Well, I talked to a man who comes from Emilia-Romagna, which is the so-called Red Belt of Italy. It's one of the richest agricultural sections of Italy, a sort of land of milk and honey. And it poses something of a problem for theoreticians of communism, because they usually figure, like Lenin, that communism takes root in a sort of rootless proletariat, people who don't have any ties to the land and to their family. Now, he was saying this is going to be a big blow to the communism in Emilia-Romagna, because these people have been claiming that communism in Italy will be a very mild and unrepressive sort of help your brother business. I talked to another man, a Rome businessman, who said this would set the Italian communist movement back 50 years, which is just about when it began.
Can we expect any further comment from the Vatican?
That's very difficult to say. You can expect an editorial in the Vatican City Daily newspaper, but the Vatican tries to preserve the fiction that this newspaper is unofficial. However, the comment will be very much on the official side.
Patrick Riley, thank you very much for speaking to us at this hour from Rome. For our next report on reaction to the Czech invasion by the Soviet Union and its Eastern European satellites, we call in Ernie Reed, who has been reporting to us throughout the night and now into the morning hours from Vienna, which is only a few miles from the Czech border. So here is the latest report from Ernie Reed.
Czechoslovakia, which was invaded early this morning by Russian and other Warsaw Pact troops, has now been virtually sealed off from the west. Austrian authorities say that no travelers are being allowed to enter the country, either by land or air. The invaders, at this time, are occupying all the main government buildings and the vital radio station in the Czechoslovakian capital of Prague. Meanwhile, casualties of the invasion have been reported. A sister of an American embassy official in Prague said that she had seen a Bulgarian tank kill two Czechoslovak soldiers. She said that the tank had run over the two. Eyewitnesses also saw Soviet soldiers equipped with machine guns kill a woman. Prague radio announcers, their voices choked with emotion, were heard saying at one point, "This is the last appeal for sound reason to prevail. Shooting is heard on the streets outside. They are trying to scare us away, but we will struggle on." And just at this very moment, a Bratislava TV news show, which is being seen here in Vienna, is showing pictures of Soviet soldiers and tanks patrolling the town. This is Ernie Reed in Vienna.
First reaction to the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia is now coming in from Paris, and we get the latest from CBS News correspondent Peter Kalischer, who's standing by in our Paris studios. Peter, what's happening there?
Outside the communist bloc is maintaining a stony silence today on this whole Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia. While every other newspaper is headlining the news, there's not a word about it in L'Humanité, the communist daily, the organ, the official organ. No responsible party officials are available for comment. There are the usual predictions that this move by the Warsaw Pact bloc is going to prove fatal to the French party, which suffered severe setbacks in the National Assembly elections in June. But as one Frenchman told me, they'll hold a seminar, they'll get the line, and they'll stick to it. After 2 months, they'll even claim it was a good thing. The point is that, unquestionably, President de Gaulle himself will feel the adverse effects. He has based France's foreign policy on détente with Russia and Eastern Europe, and he has pulled France out of the NATO military alliance because the Cold War is supposed to be over. The sound of Russian tanks rumbling through Prague is something he cannot ignore. Later this morning, de Gaulle will hold a conference at his home in Colombey with Premier Comte de Merville, who is being flown back on a special plane from his holiday in Chamonix, and with Foreign Minister Michel Debray. After this, perhaps there will be a statement.
CBS News correspondent Peter Kalischer reporting from Paris. Here in New York, a spokesman for United Nations Secretary General Font says there has been no request for an emergency session of the Security Council so far. Secretary Font had been planning to fly to Prague on Thursday to receive an honorary degree, but those plans are likely to be changed as a result of the military invasion there. That's the latest. This is Gary Shepard, CBS News, New York. Hear all the news and hear it first on this CBS radio network station.
This station serves the nation coast to coast through the night. 830 WCCO, the top of the nation, the Twin Cities.
Time now for the early morning news, presented by the Paulson Supply Company of St. Paul, WCCO Land's exclusive distributor of the Torrent Floating Water Pump. And here's our ace newscaster, Roger Eric.
Thank you, ace introducer. It's 78 degrees and going to go up to 90, and it's going to be humid today. Czechoslovakia is an occupied nation this morning, taken over by Eastern European communist powers, headed by the Soviet Union. Here's the situation. Russian, East German, Polish, Hungarian, and Bulgarian forces have entered every major Czech city. Czech leaders have advised their countrymen to offer only passive resistance. But at least five Czechoslovaks were reported killed in sporadic clashes. At one point, Prague residents threw themselves in front of Soviet tanks. The sound of cannon and machine gun fire was heard in the capital. There still is no word as to the whereabouts of the liberal Czech Communist Party leaders who sparked the political reform program that prompted the overnight invasion. This includes Communist Party leader Alexander Dubček. In Moscow, the TASS news agency claimed Czech party and government leaders had asked for urgent assistance to combat counter-revolutionary forces in collusion with unnamed foreign forces. TASS mentioned no names, and observers recalled a similar statement was issued as the Soviets crushed the Hungarian uprising in 1956. Dr. E.W. Zebarth, dean of the College of Liberal Arts at the University of Minnesota, is currently in the Eastern Bloc countries. In a dispatch to WCCO Radio last week, Zebarth warned that the crisis in Czechoslovakia was not over, and there were continuing rumors that Soviet troops were massing at the borders. Zeebarth said he had learned that the Russians had set up radio jamming equipment to keep foreign broadcasts, such as Voice of America and BBC, out of Eastern Europe. According to Zeebarth, the Russians would use as an excuse for the invasion the finding of a large cache of Western arms. Prague Radio said planes dropped leaflets over the capital saying Antony Novotny is the legal Czech leader. Novotny is the Stalinist hardliner ousted by Dubček as Communist Party leaders earlier this year. In Washington, President Johnson met with National Security Council after meeting with Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin. A White House spokesman said no decisions were reached at the council session. Secretary of State Rusk later met with Dobrynin for about 15 minutes. In London, Western diplomatic sources ruled out Western military intervention in the crisis, but they predicted talks within the NATO alliance and an appeal by the West for UN Security Council deliberations. 14 minutes past 6, 78 degrees. Just a half a minute here, we'll get a report from CBS Radio News. Reports from around the world on the Czechoslovak situation. We have been getting these reports throughout the night since the news first came, shortly before 9 o'clock last night. And, of course, you always get the news first on WCCO Radio, where you hear history as it happens. Following this report, we'll have our own news. So now let's switch to CBS Radio at 6:15, CCO temp 78.
This is Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, New York. The latest word from Czechoslovakia is from Prague and Associated Press dispatch that firing broke out around the U.S. embassy following the invasion of Czechoslovakia by troops of the Soviet Union and other hardline members of the Warsaw Pact. Observers in the American embassy said it seemed to be machine gun fire, but no one could see who was shooting. Embassy officials ordered the gates of the embassy building shut. They had been kept open to receive Americans and other foreigners seeking refuge. There are reports of a number of deaths in Prague, of people shot to death and people crushed by Soviet tanks. There are no firm figures available. However, no bloodbath is indicated. There is no suggestion of any popular uprising or any active resistance. And as a matter of fact, those Czech radio stations and other means of public opinion that have remained in operation have kept appealing for calm, and Czech radio stations in particular have broadcast advice that they said came from party leader Alexander Dubček for the nation to carry on, go to your jobs, and carry out passive resistance, was the word from Prague Radio to listeners at dawn. And the Bratislava television and radio Pilsen broadcast what it said were thousands of messages and telegrams from workers' groups proclaiming loyalty to the Dubček regime. And it said that Czechoslovak writers, journalists, and artists were ordering a two-minute general work stoppage, a kind of protest general strike, a token strike at noon today to demonstrate their loyalty to the anti-Stalinist forces. The anti-Stalinist forces appear to be cooped up. The news agency, the official news agency, ČTK, says that the presidium of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia was in its headquarters, surrounded by occupation troops and cut off from the world. And the whereabouts of the specific leaders, of the individual leaders, including the First Secretary Alexander Dubček, are not known. The agency went on to say that because the National Central Committee was cut off in its surrounded headquarters, the City Communist Central Committee of Prague was acting in its place. And the City Committee was voicing strong opposition to the occupation of the country, calling it a severe blow to international socialism, and calling on the members of the communist parties in the Soviet Union, East Germany, Poland, Bulgaria, and Hungary to order the immediate withdrawal of their military units from Czechoslovak territory. However, there too, no word, no admonition to active resistance to national uprising at all. The Soviets came into this operation apparently extremely well prepared, not only militarily, but also politically. There are reports of leaflets being dropped, Soviet leaflets, which identify Antony Novotny, the discredited former president of Czechoslovakia, as the leader of the new government. And the Soviets apparently put a new radio station on the air called Vltava, which is the name of the river that flows through Prague, with an appeal to Czech forces to support Soviet forces. But Prague Radio said this was illegal and that the station spoke bad Czech, and bad Slovak. With me in our CBS News headquarters in New York are two men with wide experience in that part of the world and in foreign affairs, our CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb and Alexander Kendrick, who was correspondent in Central Europe and in Moscow for many years. Gentlemen, I'd like to ask you why this happened.
Seems to me, Dick, that this was an act of great desperation on the part of the Russians. It was a sign not of strength, but of weakness. They must have weighed very carefully the consequences of this act. Condemnation by the world, peril to the Soviet-American detente in terms of anti-ballistic missiles, non-proliferation, commercial relations, and also the further splitting of the communist world. And then they decided it was not too big a price to pay to save themselves and the undermining of their whole system. Evidently, the road to a free Moscow leads through a free Prague. Well, now, they try to put a collective face on it because of the participation of the other Warsaw Pact powers and not a unilateral face. But Yugoslavia and Romania obviously cannot accept what has happened. Moreover, the Czechs don't accept it either, although their government may have submitted. So this, it seems to me, only delays the inevitable further undermining of communism in Europe and doesn't really avert it.
A kind of domino theory. Marvin, would you agree?
To a degree. Alex used the phrase save themselves. I have a feeling that when you go through this kind of major change in policy, or apparent major change in policy over the past 2 months in the Soviet view of developments in Czechoslovakia, it seems to me that some political price must be paid in the Kremlin. Brezhnev bear-hugged Dubček 3 weeks ago when Bratislava almost plaintively grabbed his hand and raised it as a sign of friendship, 3 weeks later ordering his tanks into Prague. It would seem to me that either if he has changed its mind, it's a result of very hawkish pressures within the Kremlin, perhaps led by people like Kirilenko and Chelyapin. What effect this will have on obvious moderates like Kosygin, the prime minister, I don't know, but it is bound to make an awful lot of the moderate factions within the Soviet Union disillusioned. It's going to have a crushing impact, no doubt, upon communist parties throughout the world.
Well, you agree, then, that they won't save themselves. They're simply delaying the inevitable.
I agree that they're delaying the inevitable because I do not feel that the Russians can win either by allowing liberalization to succeed in Czechoslovakia or by crushing it. I think the world has gotten beyond the point where brute strength alone is going to prevail.
Well, that's a very optimistic judgment, but look back at Poland in 1956 with as much as free a spring of freedom of expression and religion and the rest as the Czechs have enjoyed over the last 7 months, but the lid was put back on by sheer force, by consistent and gradual political and economic and psychological pressure with the presence of Soviet troops in Poland to make sure it didn't slide back.
Yeah, but Dick, this may be
it's not early morning. It's not 1956.
Exactly. This may be just early morning optimism on our part, but I have a feeling that in the past at least 3 years, the lesson of great power intervention in the affairs of small countries probably has proved that brute strength alone by a great power isn't going to accomplish a political aim. We know that, I believe, from the events in Vietnam, and I would easily see that the Russians are quickly going to learn that by developments in Czechoslovakia.
Our CBS News White House correspondent Bob Pierpoint is standing by in Washington. Bob, you've been listening to our conversation. What have you to add?
Seems to me that we've been talking to some extent about the political effect in the Kremlin and in Eastern Europe. We also ought to think about the political effect here at home, Dick. Certainly, this is going to have political fallout here in the United States. The first, I suppose, and most obvious effect in any foreign policy crisis is that rallying around the president and the administration that always seems to happen in America. And this time, with Vice President Humphrey so deeply involved, and I might point out that several times last night, he and the president just appeared in the West Wing of the White House so that reporters could see them together. They never talked to reporters, but they appeared together until as late as 3 o'clock this morning. Well, with the Vice President such an obvious part of the crisis handling now, it would seem to me that he is likely to gain some political benefits. As I see it, this is going to help the hardliners here in the United States, and it's going to hurt the doves, such as Senator McCarthy and Senator McGovern, who now are going to have a great deal of trouble trying to push their soft line on Vietnam into the Democratic Party platform.
Bob, do you see the United States taking any international action?
At the present time, I don't see what the United States can really do to help Czechoslovakia, Dick. It seems to me that the situation is similar to the Soviet invasion of Hungary in 1956, and at that time, the Republican administration had been talking about helping liberate captive communist nations, and then when the crunch came, President Eisenhower was unable to do anything. In recent years, the United States has been so deeply involved in Asia that it has a very limited amount of troop strength in Europe, the lowest level of troops in Germany since the end of World War II, and there seems very little now that we can do except deplore the situation.
Bob, I'd like to ask Dick a question. What can the United Nations do at this point?
The United Nations can do no more today than it could do in November of 1956 when there was an open war against Hungary. It can sit and it can deplore. Even at the moment, no request has been made for a Security Council meeting. It's up to the Czechs to make that. If they don't say that they have been raped, there is nothing the United Nations can do even really to discuss it. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, New York.
Hear all the news and hear it first on this CBS radio network station.
That news report direct from CBS here on CCO Radio, where you hear history as it happens. It's 25 minutes past 6 o'clock. Our CCO temperature reading is 78.
Follow CBS News of the World next from Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis at 830. This is WCCO.
This is Alan Jackson, CBS News, New York. Details are still scarce on the situation in Czechoslovakia this morning. Russians and other troops from the hardline satellites appear to have taken over effective control of the country with little major opposition. However, there has been one report of shooting and some resistance. Here's the story on that in a report by Ernie Reed from the Listening Post City of Vienna.
At least 3 Czechoslovakian citizens already have been killed and 57 others have been wounded since Russian and other Warsaw Pact troops invaded Czechoslovakia today. These figures are based on a late report from Cetekar, the official Czechoslovak news agency. This report somehow managed to reach Vienna, even though the Russians seemed to be in control of the Cetekar news agency building. Eyewitnesses today saw 2 Czechoslovak soldiers run over by a Bulgarian tank. Meanwhile, there are reports of isolated machine gun fire in various sectors of Prague. Hundreds of angry Czechoslovak citizens are still milling around the famous downtown Wenceslas Square and Radio Prague and other important city sites. The Czechoslovaks are shouting at armed Russian troops to get out of the country and leave them alone. It is believed that most of the reported Czechoslovak victims have resulted from street fighting and demonstrating against the occupation troops. This is Ernie Reed in Vienna.
West German border police in Bavaria, looking across the frontier at Czechoslovakia this morning, reported that Czech watchtowers on the border are being manned by soldiers in different uniform, apparently Czech, Polish, and Russian. And they say the machine guns on those towers are pointed to the east, not toward West Germany, but inward back toward Czechoslovakia.
Good morning. This is First Line Report, brought to you in part by Winston Cigarettes. I am Marvin Kalb, CBS News diplomatic correspondent. It was said that it could not happen, that the Soviet Union had changed too much, had become too reasonable to revert to the old overreason, that indeed the world had changed too much since the United States' intervention in South Vietnam for large powers to impose their will over small ones by the power of arms, not the example of greatness or the weight of bigness. And yet it has happened once again in Czechoslovakia, destroying a myth about the Soviet Union, undercutting current administration efforts to enlist Moscow's help to end the war in Vietnam, and demonstrating graphically that when a world power feels its vital interests challenged, it will move and worry later about what the rest of the world thinks. Some comments in a moment. Perhaps the largest supposition about the surprise and massive Soviet intervention in Czechoslovakia is that the hardliners in Moscow have apparently gained the upper hand over the moderate leaders of the Kremlin. 3 weeks ago, there was every indication that the hardliners had lost. The Russians, meeting in Cherna with Czech leader Alexander Dubček, clearly could not budge the new and courageous team of Dubček associates. So, Soviet press attacks against Czechoslovakia were stopped,
Soviet troops were withdrawn, Soviet Party Chief Brezhnev grinned and bear-hugged the Czech leaders as though he loved the idea of liberalization spreading through Czechoslovakia. Then last Friday, with many Soviet leaders away on vacation, some Soviet leaders decided to change policy. Pravda and Izvestia began to attack the Czechs once again. The forces of counter-revolution, Pravda said, had to be nipped in the bud. It is easier to surmise who the hardliners are not than who they are. Prime Minister Kosygin clearly is not. Younger Presidium members such as Shelyapin and Kirilenko probably are. Brezhnev, the party chief, is seen as an increasingly weak middleman. What this means for the United States is many things, but foremost, the unhappy recognition that the current administration efforts to win Moscow's help to end the Vietnam War appear to be stifled and probably killed. It also means the long-stalled missile talks between the two countries are now unlikely to get started, and if by some miracle they do get started, are unlikely to make any progress. There is also a domestic political impact, about which more in a moment. The Soviet intervention in Czechoslovakia comes right in the middle of the American presidential campaign. It is bound to strengthen the hand and the image of those who have always championed a hard line against communism, Richard Nixon for one, bound to damage those who have based their political fortunes on the notion in recent years of good relations with the Soviet Union, Eugene McCarthy for one, perhaps even Vice President Humphrey for another. Militarily, the Johnson administration will do nothing. That has been clear for some time. But diplomatically and politically, the Soviet intervention hurts the Johnson administration and the Doves. I am Marvin Kalb, and this is First Line Report.
The time is 11 o'clock, the news is next, and the weather will follow. Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830-WCCO.
This is CBS News. Secretary General Luthant cancels trip to Czechoslovakia, and Western members of the UN Security Council seek an early meeting. Communist troops in full control, and liberal leaders of Czechoslovakia virtually imprisoned. Report from Walter Reed. Doctors say General Eisenhower spent a most comfortable night. In New York, security markets are closed today. These and other top stories on CBS Radio News. This is Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, New York. CBS News learns that UN Secretary General Luthant has canceled his trip to Prague. He was to have flown to the Czech capital tomorrow to accept an honorary degree from the Charles University there, one of the oldest universities in Europe. No official reason has yet been given, but it's expected to be the likelihood of an early meeting of the UN Security Council. Urgent consultations have been in progress all morning at UN headquarters, with the European members of the Council seeking an early meeting to consider the invasion of Czechoslovakia. The United States is said to be sympathetic to the idea, while the Soviet Union is expected to try to block it or to delay it until the situation in Czechoslovakia is quiet enough to take the drama out of the debate. So far, there's been no formal complaint to the Council from Czechoslovakia or any other country. The Czech mission here has published a protest sent through diplomatic channels to the Soviet Union and the hardline satellites who joined in the invasion, calling on them to stop the illegal occupation without delay and withdraw all armed troops. The British government has described the Soviet invasion as a flagrant violation of the UN Charter and all accepted standards of international behavior. President Charles de Gaulle has deplored the Soviet action as a blow to the rights of a friendly nation and to the relaxation of tension in Europe. President Tito of Yugoslavia denounced the invasion as a serious blow to the communist world, and President Ceausescu of Romania called it a grave mistake. The Soviet Union justified its intervention with an announcement asserting that the Soviet and hardline satellite troops had moved into Czechoslovakia at the request of what Moscow calls Czech party and government leaders. These unnamed leaders, says Moscow, asked for urgent fraternal assistance, including assistance with armed forces, because of the threat to the socialist system from counter-revolutionary forces in collusion with foreign forces hostile to socialism, unquote. Moscow did not name the Czech leaders who allegedly asked for the invasion. Soviet troops have surrounded Communist Party headquarters in Prague, virtually imprisoning 9 out of 11 Presidium members. President Svoboda has not been heard from since he appealed for calm at 8 o'clock Prague time this morning. Party leader Alexander Dubček has not been heard or seen at all. In Prague and throughout Czechoslovakia, Soviet and satellite troops appear firmly in control after what was a practically bloodless invasion. More on that story in a moment.
CBS News of the World next from Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, WCCO.
This is Stuart Novins, CBS News in New York. The Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia has shocked much of the world, but the deed appears now to have been done. The war in Vietnam, however, continues. Senator Edward Kennedy has called for an unconditional halt in the United States bombing of North Vietnam. He proposed that negotiations with North Vietnam center on mutual withdrawal from South Vietnam by all foreign forces. He said the United States should do what it can to prevent the South Vietnamese government from collapsing after an American withdrawal, and he added, Saigon should not have a veto power over American policy. The Massachusetts senator said he is not retiring from public life. He made no endorsement of any political candidates. Negotiators at the Paris Vietnam Peace Probe meetings this morning conferred for 3.5 hours with no outward sign of any progress. Ambassador Harriman warned Hanoi that if enemy activity inside the demilitarized zone does not stop, the United States would find it difficult to restrain itself from entering the so-called buffer zone. The news continues in a moment. Senator Eugene McCarthy said today the American commitment in Vietnam made it easier for the Soviet Union to invade Czechoslovakia. At the State Department, Secretary of State Dean Rusk has made his views known. CBS News correspondent Marvin Kalb reports from Washington.
Secretary Rusk, in effect, ruled out the use of American military force in Czechoslovakia while rejecting the idea that the United States would use force were it not for its military involvement in Vietnam. In a special press statement, the secretary said the defense of U.S. treaty commitments in Southeast Asia does not mute our voice where freedom is involved elsewhere. It is clear from this Rusk statement and from others by State Department sources that the Johnson administration is taking a comparatively detached view of the current Czech crisis. These sources expect a Security Council debate later today and also expect almost universal condemnation of the Soviet intervention. But no sanctions are contemplated against Russia or her allies, no breaks in diplomatic relations, no unilateral U.S. action. The administration, while deploring the intervention, seems content to take a back seat and work through collective units such as the United Nations or the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Marvin Kell, CBS News, the State Department.
Soviet transport planes are flying into the airport at Prague, bringing in more troops to nail down the lid of the coffin of Czechoslovakian freedom. The Soviet-led invasion has evidently displaced the reformist leadership, but there is no definite report on the location or condition of the men who led Czechoslovakia until the Russians moved in. President Johnson has called in a statement made at the White House for Soviet withdrawal from Czechoslovakia, and he has directed Ambassador George Ball at the UN to work with other nations to ensure the UN charter rights of Czechoslovakia and its people. Mr. Johnson said, the excuses offered by the Soviet Union are patently contrived. The Czech government, he said, did not request its allies to interfere in its internal affairs. No external aggression threatened Czechoslovakia, said the president. Secretary General U Thant of the UN called upon Moscow to show utmost restraint. He canceled a trip to Prague he was to have made tomorrow to accept an honorary degree. Private consultations are going on at the UN on bringing the Czech issue to the Security Council with minimum delay. An English tourist who came out of Bratislava, Czechoslovakia, this morning was questioned by CBS newsman Bob Allison at the Czech-Austrian border. He described what he saw of the Russians.
There are a lot of tanks there, and the Russians seem to be trying to keep off the streets, in the tanks and off the streets, just, you know, behind their armor. I don't think they want to make contact with the people if they can possibly help it.
What's the mood of the people, the Czechs?
Quite passive. I think frightened.
I see.
Yes, they're not aggressive, just passive.
An English traveler just out of Czechoslovakia.
CBS News of the World next from studios Minneapolis, St. Paul, WCCO.
This is John Meyer, CBS News, Washington, sitting in for Reed Collins, who's headed for Chicago and the Democratic Convention at this hour. Today's invasion of Czechoslovakia by the Red Army and four hardline Russian allies appears to have crushed that country's attempt at liberalized communism. Some defiance of the Russian invasion is reported, however. At least 7 persons are said to have been killed and about 200 wounded, fighting Soviet troops in Prague, Bratislava, and Kocsis. The Czech news agency CTK says four of those killed were shot to death in Prague, with 180 of the wounded also in the Czech capital. CTK adds that one Russian soldier was seriously wounded in a Prague street battle. In both Bratislava and Košice, Red Army troops reportedly opened fire on crowds of Czech civilians. A mounting wave of revulsion at the Soviet attack is sweeping the world. President Johnson calls the invasion a shock to the conscience of the world. Speaking from the White House, Mr. Johnson urged an immediate withdrawal of the Russian forces and declared it is never too late for reason to prevail. UN Secretary General U Thant calls the action a blow to world order and to East-West relations. There is widespread expectation that the United Nations Security Council will be called into emergency session. Britain, West Germany, France, neutral Sweden, and even the governments of two communist countries, Romania and Yugoslavia, have protested the Kremlin move. In Belgrade, Yugoslavia's President Tito says the Russians have terribly violated and trampled on Czech sovereignty, but he nevertheless has banned any pro-Czech demonstrations in his country in an attempt to avoid what he calls serious provocations. In Moscow, the Kremlin claims unnamed Czech leaders asked for intervention out of fear there was to be a move against the country's communist system. There are reports from Prague that Alexander Dubček and other liberal communist officials have been interned, but so far Dubček himself has neither been seen nor heard from, and fears for his life and those of other liberal leaders are being expressed around the globe. Those fears evoked by the recollection that when Russia invaded Hungary in 1956, that country's liberal leader, Imre Nagy, was liquidated. The State Department here says that so far, the United States has made no formal diplomatic representation to the Soviet Union about Dubček's safety. U.S. protests have been confined to a meeting last night between Secretary of State Dean Rusk and Soviet Ambassador to Brynjan, plus President Johnson's statement of today. The State Department says that all U.S. embassy employees in Czechoslovakia are safe and accounted for, and that there have been no reports of any injuries to American citizens. Department spokesman Robert McCloskey says about 3,000 Americans are in that country today, about 800 of them tourists. Senator George McGovern calls the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia deplorable and further indication of fundamental division in the once unified Red Bloc. The South Dakota lawmaker, an announced candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, predicts in a statement issued here that the force of Czech nationalism will prevail in the long run. Another candidate for the Democratic nomination, Minnesota Senator Eugene McCarthy, has issued a statement of his own saying U.S. involvement in Vietnam made it easier for the Red Army to invade Czechoslovakia. Adds McCarthy, there is little the United States could have done. We certainly could not use force in view of President Johnson's recent statement on the bombing of North Vietnam. End of quote.
From CBS Radio, from Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830 WCCO.
It's been almost 24 hours since occupation troops of the Soviet Union and its four Warsaw Pact allies moved into Czechoslovakia. Since that time, there have been a number of swift developments. One concerns the fate of Alexander Dubček, the Czech leader, who for more than anybody else was responsible for bringing democracy to Czechoslovakia and who apparently went too far to suit the Soviets. At last word, the Czech news agency reported that Dubček was taken prisoner, carted away in an armored personnel carrier to an undetermined place of detention. Three other Czech leaders were taken with him. In another development, Soviet bloc forces were said to have invaded the Czech parliament as deputies sat in session. No word on whether they, too, were detained. In New York, the UN Security Council was called into session to consider the crisis, and all over the world, the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia, an invasion carried out with tanks and planes, was bitterly denounced. CBS newsman Bob Allison was near Bratislava, Czechoslovakia today. That's where only a few weeks ago the Czechs thought they'd won from the Russians the right to recreate democratic socialism in their country. They were woefully wrong. Allison returned to Vienna to refile this report.
I've just returned from the border at Bratislava. That's the border between Czechoslovakia here. And only a few overflights by MiGs roaring across the countryside disturbed the peaceful scene there. There are just two Czech soldiers, lightly armed, who are manning the border gate. There are reports that there are Russian troops farther up the road out of sight, but I couldn't see any of them. There are some cars passing through, coming over to the Austrian side. These are cars of foreigners, French, German, Austrians, who've been visiting Czechoslovakia. Many of them look grim. We talked with one lad who had been in Bratislava this morning when the Russians came in.
There are a lot of tanks there, and the Russians seem to be trying to keep off the streets, in the tanks and off the streets, just, you know, behind their armor. I don't think they want to make contact with the people if they can possibly help it.
What's the mood of the people, the Czechs?
Quite passive. I think frightened. They're not aggressive, just passive.
But not all Czechs were passive. Some in Prague fought and died. It's impossible to tell how many have been killed since there's no communication between Czechoslovakia and the West. But one report says at least 7 Czechs died and more than 100 were wounded trying to resist their Russian foe. And tonight, Soviet bloc troops reportedly opened up with heavy machine gun fire at a square in the heart of Prague. More news in a moment. President Johnson strongly denounced the Soviet invasion. He issued a special statement from the White House.
The tragic news from Czechoslovakia shocks the conscience of the world. The Soviet Union and its allies have invaded a defenseless country to stamp out a resurgence of ordinary human freedom. It is a sad commentary on the communist mind that a sign of liberty in Czechoslovakia is deemed a fundamental threat to the security of the Soviet system. The excuses offered by the Soviet Union are patently contrived. The Czechoslovakia government did not request its allies to intervene in its internal affairs, and no external aggression threatened Czechoslovakia. In the name of mankind's hope for peace, I call on the Soviet Union and its associates to withdraw their troops from Czechoslovakia. I hope that responsible spokesmen for governments and people throughout the world will support this appeal. It is never too late for reason to prevail.
How will the Soviet invasion affect U.S.-Soviet relations? From Washington, Marvin Kalb reports.
There is no doubt here that the intervention damaged Soviet-American relations. Bridge-building projects may have to be scrubbed, and of course President Johnson can't forget about his romantic dream to travel to Moscow in the twilight months of his administration. In such an atmosphere, the hardliners in the United States generally have their way. The moderates feel awkward, pushing for détente, while the Russians snuff out the shoots of freedom in Czechoslovakia. So the emphasis is expected to be on more missiles, not fewer, more troops to Western Europe, not cutting those there, more toughness on Vietnam, not a bombing halt. Politically, the Nixon people feel they have gained a notable advantage. The McCarthy-McGovern-Humphrey people feel they have gained nothing but a new headache. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
Now this message. CBS News correspondent Bill McLaughlin visited the West German-Czech border today. He returned to Nuremberg to make this report.
The White House crossing point on the West German-Czech border, about 80 miles east of Nuremberg, is still controlled by Czech authorities. All looked normal and quiet when we visited today. But some of the men in uniform on the Czech side were army troops, not the ordinary border police. For the moment, they seemed to be under orders to allow Westerners and Czechoslovaks with valid passports to leave and to keep the Western press out. On the West German side of the frontier, the situation is anything but normal. Crowds from nearby villages press up against the fences and stare over onto the Czechoslovak side, waiting for something to happen. About all that does happen is the quiet, continuing exodus of Western tourists from Czechoslovakia. Some talked of having heard shooting in Prague, and all of them had seen Soviet armor. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News,